Meditation you've just done is a completely opposite type of energy from the middle pillar exercises. It's very dreamy, it's very kind of floaty. In a way, it's a movement in and down. It's not the movement up and out. And it's a movement into mystery, and it's a movement that you could say is represented by these images of the sphinxes on their biers that are mummy form, and that are kind of just sort of, but also a bit slightly upright, their heads a little upright. So they're not asleep, they're not supine, but they're not. And in a way, it's a good image for what happens when we enter the dream with awareness in this way. We enter into this place of dreaming, we enter into the stillness. So we are in the dreaming, but not lost in the dreaming. What was it like, this form of meditation, as opposed to the earlier form?
I'm a little bit, I feel out of sync with it, because yes, I can identify with that dreamlike feeling, and it was quite powerful, but at the end, the snake came out of me and is still hanging on the branches of my tree.
Okay.
So it feels like it's up there, mm-hmm. which is out of sync with these mummies.
Mm. So if you pay attention to your snake just right now, Jenny, literally just give it attention, just see what happens to you.
I know that where the snake took me is an important place.
Okay.
Something that I'm being reminded about that needs attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still feeling confused about how I bring the snake, somehow integrate it, I suppose, is the word.
Okay, so suppose that question to the snake. Ask the snake about that. How do I integrate you? And just see what happens.
Well, I think actually it says, it's okay, I can come back inside again.
Mm-hmm.
In my own good time.
In my own good time. Right,
yes.
Great, good, yeah. Yeah.
It's not finished up there.
No.
What it drew my attention to is not finished.
Great, good. So that's a so. Let yourself look in that direction. Just follow that.
Well, there's a lot of energy in my solar plexus or tipper earth around there.
Mm-hmm. So just stay with it and see what happens next.
Yeah, it's not on the tree anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's me or the snake that wants to get back to where it started off at the beginning of a meditation.
Mm-hmm. But where is the energy right now?
It's here in my solar plexus.
Okay, so just hang around with that. Just be with that for a moment and just see what happens.
the competing thing going on about, come on, Jennifer, you're taking up too much
time. No, okay. Well, we know that. We are getting on with this by paying attention to this.
And the other part is, it feels really quite powerful and feels like it could burst out and be quite powerful.
Yeah, so good. So pay attention to it. Just trust it. See what happens.
It's moved up to my throat area. Actually, it's not just here. It's all the way up.
Okay, good, great, good, yeah.
To here.
Yeah, good. See what happens next.
Well, the energy is all the way through my body, and if I look at where the snake is on the tree, I wouldn't say it's just a skin, but it's like it's all flabby. It's not. It doesn't look very lively anymore up there.
Okay, but the energy is going right through your body.
Yes.
Stay with it.
It's moving past this block. I have it always here.
Yeah.
So that actually feels quite good. It feels quite integrated. Well, integrated. I said earlier it didn't feel integrated. It feels integrated now.
That feels really good.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Rob, you're muted. Thanks, Duncan. Probably, I was saying I felt wordless.
Spot on.
and it's that real primal place of the snake, pre-verbal, non-verbal.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
The snake is just looking through my eyes.
Yeah.
And right, and we're not separate, as we weren't in the dream either.
Good. Yeah.
And very, very still. And I remember watching, have you ever seen a crocodile or snakes can do the same? You can watch them and they can hardly be a flicker of life. Mm. They spend an awful lot of time incredibly still.
Yeah.
Very, very, that brings a sort of centered feeling.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
I feel I can be with that sort of reptilian, but yes, I feel warm.
Yeah.
I feel alive. So.
Yeah, it sounds important to stay with that image of the snake and being at one with the snake. Sounds very good, Rob.
I can say something.
Yeah, please.
Can't hear myself. It was really much more dreamy. I would say less sort of in a way less focused than the other meditations, but I kind of liked that because it felt quite restful. And I just went with that. So at some points I thought, oh, where have I been? And then other points I was like, the images were very clear. And I was quite surprised by three things that surprised me. One was that the snake was so alive and robust and real, and I could almost sense the textures in the... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just felt really real and lovely, really, really lovely. A lovely, lovely energy. And it made me feel like I want to create, but I have this feeling quite often. I want to paint or draw or sing or play the other one, and I'd never have enough time. So, but it didn't feel that sort of pressure of annoyance that I can't find a way to do it. I just felt the energy of it, this desire to create in a nice, in a kind of rested, nice way, which was quite interesting. And the other thing that's quite surprising was that I got this phrase, this Persian phrase that came to my mind, and it's the one they start stories with. So, you know, it's just so interesting. We, in the West, start with once upon a time. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time. So in Farsi, it's Yekibu, Yekinabu, Khairas, Bada, Hishkinabu. And I can't quite translate it, but it sort of means once there was, once there wasn't, besides God, there was nothing. But it's the Yeki, meaning one, which sounds really like the guardian, the name of the guardian. That was Jackie, but yeah. Mm. Anyway, it just came to me. I was like, oh, wow.
Once there was, once there wasn't. Could you say it more? Once there was, yeah. Once there wasn't.
Once there was, or one there was, one there wasn't. Besides God, there was nothing.
Besides God, there was nothing. Beautiful.
Sort of like that, but you know, I can't really translate it.
No, of course not.
But it's a strange sort of like, it's not saying there was nothing, it's almost kind of like nothing was the presence.
Yeah.
Not an absence, there was
no fullness. Before God, there was nothing, yes. Nice.
So that just felt like it was something to do with something really kind of primordial and
right.
Anyway, it was lovely. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, it felt very dreamy, and I could still feel that sense of that kind of dreaminess. And I paid more attention to the sephira, so that was interesting. But my image was just like light coming up, and there's snake, there's like a rainbow snake, and there's like a mountain of this kind of rainbow light. So there wasn't a form, there was colour and light. But I think you said at one point it takes form, but it didn't really take form. There's always this sense of fluidity going on, and that things always change shape, and I change shape, and it's constant.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, very nice.
Could I say something? Just as
good. Yeah.
What came, I will take to therapy, not try and deal with it here. But it was interesting. What happened was, as the snake moved up through the heart, through my heart, I remembered an incident where somebody really tried to put one over me, on me.
Aye.
And somebody who was involved just walked away, like, kind of threw their hands in the air and walked away. And the sense of that almost like outrage and betrayal was there. And obviously there's snake in the grass, there's that sort of thing. But it was interesting because at the end of it, as it moved into that, into the throat and into the head, it became a very different feel, almost like a jeweled, very different. And actually seeing through the eyes of the snake was kind of like, well, of course people do this stuff. There's like an acceptance and a sort of, not a negative expectation, but just sort of, there's that there as well. And what I've written down is silent rage, because that's what it felt like when I checked back in to my heart area. It's like this, being left with this sense of I would say injustice.
Probably. Injustice, yeah. Like outrage and injustice, I can hear.
Yeah. Very interesting.
That is
interesting. I just wanted to.
No, good, good, yeah. Powerful.
Articulated.
I had a clear sense of not being quite comfortable with the snake, and then growing more comfortable with it, you know, and seeing it in a form that made it more comfortable for me. And then as it moved up through the Sephiroth, it became coloured by them. So it was almost as if it was sort of breaking through each one. But there was a real sense of sinuousness as it moved up the body. And a wonderful feeling when it sort of emerged at Tiferet, and what was became a golden snake at Tiferet, and the most beautiful colours at Da'at. But there was something, this was it. So looking through the eyes of the snake, I went into the meditation really cross with myself, because I often hear my mother coming out in my voice. It really pisses me off. And but looking with the eyes of the snake was really, I understood it's a way of looking, being less emotionally involved, not cut off from the world, but more dispassionate and more allowing, and incredibly helpful. And I remembered that thing of losing form and getting the feeling that the dust, that all these past impressions were dust that could be sloughed off. This was an ongoing process. So lovely, lovely meditation. Really enjoyed it.
This is powerful, that isn't, that sense of the way the perception shifts, and the sense of the way in which the nature of the snake changes as it moves through the different sephirot. And something about that sense of clarity that emerges really as you enter into the art, the knowing of not knowing, the seeing through things, and the, and in a way that leads on to that sense of the union in Ketta, where that great sense of unification, and then everything else just falls away.
That's good.
I just remembered from Penny saying that, the beginning of the meditation, that was the thing I had actually forgotten, that I think you said something about the snake is dreaming. And I felt that I was the dream of the snake. Became quite interested in, what if the snake wakes up? Does that mean I die? So there was something about if I was the dream of the snake, what happened when the snake wakes up?
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah. And I kind of thought that's what you meant, in a way. Thought that that's what the meditation was around, that we're the dream of the snake. And actually it did wake up, because I suppose you invited the snake to wake up, and it woke up very slowly. And I really loved the part afterwards. It wasn't dramatic or difficult or stressful, and it kind of slithered up the kind of neural tube. It kind of was the neural tube, and it slithered up, expanding it as it went up. and yeah, having a kind of a sense of that, a kind of rhythmic expansion and contraction as it went up. And yeah, I just felt, wow, how wonderful. I had never had that sensation before, to go, I have my very own snake, or my snake has its very own me.
Yeah. There's a story sometimes that the snake wakes up in the gap between thoughts. Sleeps in the thought and wakes in the gap between thoughts.
It's that pre-verbal place again.
Yeah.
Precognition.
Yeah.
And I've been very sleepy today and just kind of let myself go with it, you know, listening and then lying down, drifting in and out. And yeah, really just letting myself do that without judgment, kind of being in a quite a dreamy state, which feels really right. Thank you.
I didn't quite get the beginning of the meditation. I couldn't unpipe. Why is the snake in my body and not? Anyway, I got in a muddle. But anyway, I carried on listening. And the snake came up the front of me, not up my spine quite. And as it came up, it took on different a feel of each centre, got very, very big in the heart, I like that. And then in the neck, in the throat, it got very thin. So I stopped there for a while, and I had quite a lot of sore feelings about something, and I just let that be there, and then the throat expanded. So that was a surprise and softening of that, these feelings, and then coming right into the head and to the top and out. What can the snake see? And what we could see was mist. We couldn't see any form at all apart from mist or cloud or something undefined. And then when Jenny talked, it was very helpful because the snake came back down, and I can still feel it now. It's just as though it's filled my body with its snakeness, which is like a sort of fat rope, if you like. But a very lovely, enjoyable sense. And also I like very much that idea of being dreamed by the snake. I'm not in charge here. Somewhere something else is, some being is, snake is. And it's still there. So I feel spacious and soft and full.
Good, lovely.
It was interesting because I felt as though the tree itself was snake, and I had to move my body and almost allow my branches to move, and the sense of the unknownness of that snake and the hollow branches and the tunnels in the hollow branches, and all quite sort of, you know, darkish. And but at the same time, I had this very, very strong image at the solar plexus of a tightly coiled snake that was sort of corn coloured with brown spots on it, and so my snake movement went up from solar plexus I mean, I didn't seem to involve anything below.
Mm-hmm.
And it branched out into sort of about, I don't know, three or at the throat with great heavy dark blue sort of blackish blossoms, and the word asphodel comes in here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then going up here, and then not having a very strong sense of, you know, sort of light or anything. So generally quite a sort of a dark, you know, apart from the bright, that this being sort of a lot of clarity here. So I feel as though, you know, bits need to be sort of somehow come together, but I'm not quite sure how that will be by sit with it, really, I think. Mm.
Yes, I think so, and I think that the tree is very much one tree, so so there's something about sitting with those different experiences and just letting them connect to each other.
Mm.
Sounds important, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to say anything? A couple of you haven't talked yet. Okay.
Sorry, Yasin, just ultimately, do a pet and mehen become the same serpent, or...?
Well, they've got different functions. So there's the function of apep to resist. So apep doesn't have to be evil ultimately, but apep is so mehen's function is to protect. Apep's function is to resist. And so the extent to which we need both in our lives, we need protection and resistance. There is a way in which they're not necessarily the same, but they can work together. You know, but to get to them, and that would be a very profound place to get to, wouldn't it? Because it would mean that we were able to contemplate the world of Donald Trump and the Trumpites, and love them for who they are, and to see them as part of a necessary part of the universe. Now, I can conceive of that. I don't actually think I can do it right now myself.
And yet, wouldn't a pet be to strike there? Isn't it also appropriate for a pet to strike? Like what Duncan was bringing was where you can be have stuff put on you, and our humanness and the confusion means we don't strike back.
Yeah, a pep's energy direction is to stop the energy of life. Right, apep is so my hen could certainly strike protectively and challenge and move us onwards. Apep's motion is always into resistance, is always into entropy. The whole direction of what is meant by apep is that entropic principle that stops the forward movement of life. And from that point of view, struggling with that energy deepens our connection to life. Because if you're going to struggle with a pep, you struggle on behalf of life.
Right.
So when we say in behalf of Ra, we're really talking about behalf of life. Oh, excuse me.
I just wanted to mention this because it came when Rob asked that question, and then your comment about Trump. At the end of a pantomime when Everett comes on, you know, the principal character is the baddie particularly, yeah. At that point, it's, we're just, you know, this is us, we've been playing this role.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets it's seen for what it is, an artifice.
I think that's right, and I think in the deepest places, when we can engage, you know, if we engage with the interconnectedness of everything, ultimately you see that which doesn't stop you opposing or challenging. In fact, you have to oppose or challenge that energy, but you can see its function, its relationship to how things are. So it's not that you would agree with it necessarily, but you wouldn't hate. The great danger, I think, with people like Trump is to wish their non-existence. Now, Trump, I'm completely opposed to pretty much everything Trump stands for. And yet he has his right to exist. And it would be wrong of me to wish him to not exist. In that moment, I become APEP. In the moment, I wish him not to exist, right? I oppose... because then I'm opposing some aspect of the movement of life.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm with is somebody has to be a pet.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
You know, I've got nothing to say about Trump.
Somebody does embody that force, you know, and the great danger, I think, sometimes in opposing that force, you become it. You know, that's the tricky energy of APEP. You can be, as somebody who challenges APEP, if you don't do it in the right way, you become APEP yourself. You embody it.
Yeah.
In a different way.
But very rarely does someone have to become APEP, because it's such a very unbalanced and unsustainable position, isn't it? I mean, it's so very, very extreme.
Well,
many people who've embodied APEP in our history.
Not in that total way, but actually we all embody APEP. That's in a way that we all have these qualities within us, these resistances to life, resistances to the ongoing movement of things. And in a way, Trump isn't even an embodiment of APEP. Trump is whatever the hell Trump is, you know. But no, to totally embody APEP, you would have to be committed to the annihilation of life, really.
Mm.
You know, that would be a sort of... that would be like being a saint of evil. You know, in the same way that, if you like, a saint might be committed to the energies of life and goodness, to truly be APEP, that would be the mirror image of someone who is totally committed to entropy.
In becoming that, they would cease to exist.
Exactly.
Force within them.
Exactly. So it's a sort of paradox. The whole thing is paradoxical, isn't it? You know. So there's a. Yeah.
I always remember someone talking about his grandmother once, and saying once she'd passed a certain age, she became a dreadful person. You know, the sort of person who would sort of be malicious, just as if she had turned against life, against everyone who was embracing the process of living and was still getting on to it, you know, as she reached the end of her. That's sort of APEP-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I think that bitterness can do that to you, really, where you can embody that particularly as you get older. It's interesting, actually. I think when I had a whole time in my life working with people who were in their 80s and 90s, and partly, you know, these are very radical times when your body is that frail, and people, it's a bit of an overgeneralization, but people did seem to fall into two categories. There were people who in a way had reached that stage and become somehow renewed and were kind of in an odd kind of way quite fresh and young despite their frailty, despite even what they were contending with. But there were other people who had almost gone in that other direction, the direction you're describing, Penny, where they had walled themselves up in a sort of bitterness and a sort of an a condensed kind of rage, and a rage against life, not again, not just about a person or everything to do with life. So in a way, that what the Egyptians, I think, when they symbolize Ra, when they talk about Ra and they talk about Apep, is these two intentions: the intention that is about life and the movement of life, and that wish to the wish that everything should stop and not exist somewhere really. So it's quite quite powerful images in a sense.
And I'm just thinking that if Trump is extreme, well, we need something extreme because we're in such a state in the world. It's like there's something that needs to come up against us to wake us up or something. But also I was thinking how much Trump's name has come up as an example of something in our weekends together.
Yeah.
Because barely a weekend goes by when he doesn't come forward and give us something.
Well, in a way he does do that, because one of the things I think about Trump, and it's true about Hitler as well, is he's open to the collective consciousness. I mean, the man is a sort of, part of me, I won't be at all surprised if he gets re-elected. I don't want him to be re-elected, but it won't shock me if he gets re-elected, because he has a capacity to surf the kind of collective tides, and to work with them, and to and in a way it's coming away from Trump, because coming back to this image of the serpent, this image both of Ra, the sort of Ra and Mehen and the serpent Apep, we have this, the serpent is this interesting image that can go in either direction. So the serpent can, coming back to, you know, Rob's original point of are Mehen and Apep the same? In some ways, of course, they are. But how they function, it's because they're just one serpent. So we can have Venenutet, who's the serpent mother, we can have Apep, who is the serpent, who is Mehen, who's the protective serpent, and Apep, who is the destructive serpent, the serpent that would stop everything. But they're both serpents. So that fluidity, that capacity of the serpent to go in either direction, and the necessity really that we've been looking at today to relate to the serpent that is your serpent, to enter that serpent dreaming and to enter into opposites of dreaming and awakeness. You know, what happens if the serpent wakes up? Who are we? Per Fern's point, who are we? If we are the dream of the serpent, of our serpent, who are we when she wakes? So at the end of our day, so I'll leave that question with you. And we'll come back together at 10 o'clock tomorrow and see what the serpent dreaming has done to you in the meantime.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Are you going to send us a new Zoom link?
Yes, I will. Yeah, I will do that. Yeah, I'll do it right now as we go off. See you guys immediately. Okay.
Brilliant.
Okay. Thank you. Take care, guys.